Welcome back to Three Decades of Tragedy, History of the 30 Years' War. So last time, I talked about the campaigning of 1643, which did not go well for France and Sweden. Sweden merely made little progress, their attacks not getting as far or doing as much damage as the previous year. But France had a much worse time, as they first lost Guebriant in battle, and then suffering an embarrassing defeat at Tuttlingen. It was barely a battle in my book, but the battle was scrubbed from the loss record, so it appeared European history agreed for a while. But this week, we move back in time as I give you all an overview of the war between France and Spain, which I feel I don't need to give a full breakdown of, as it's a side thing and it's about 40 pages of the book or so that would be at least 8 to 10 episodes. But I think the context is important for understanding why France was as drawn out as they were. But with that covered, let's get started. Jumping back to 1635, after the whole Mantua Affair, which I covered about a year or more ago, the war in Italy was something that challenged the balance of power. Richelieu used his own forces and Italian princes in something called the League of Rivoli. Italy was a low priority on France's strategy, and French forces didn't even arrive until late 1635, though command was already messed from the combined Italian-French forces. The first major fighting was in Lombardy, which went to the Spanish, who even counterattacked and captured some territory off of Provence. Minor, but Spain did have some success here. Fighting there continued for years, the French failing through 1636 and 1637, and two Italian allies, Mantua and Parma, were taken out. The next major fighting was at Valtellina, where a French commander by the name of Rohan tried and failed to hold the pass against the Spanish after initially defeating the Imperials after Northern Ghent. The main purpose of holding this would keep the Spanish from sending troops through to help the Habsburgs and attack the Dutch, and by this point, Alsace was still contested and not under French control. Rohan ran into issues as he had too little forces to hold either side of the pass, so he focused on the northern side. He had initial success against the Austrians using the terrain, and even chased them, but the policy to not let Protestants settle in the area was creating issues with the locals, who had already been devastated by the plague and were down to somewhere in like 50,000, 40,000. The local Rhetians had no desire to support the invasion of Milan, and Rohan already had depleted his forces, and it would have meant a lot of money. So he was trapped on both sides effectively, and was unable to effectively move. Adding on to this was the Spanish reinforcements led by the Swiss, a betrayal and a mutiny, and the Austrians agreeing to ally with the traitor forced the French to withdraw. The control over the valley, which would allow easier movement into Germany and Italy, which was contested, was given to the Russians with the promise that they wouldn't mess with the Catholics of the valley and allow Spain through. This wasn't nearly as big a thing, as by 1639, the Spanish road had been cut off by the French, meaning there was no point in controlling the pass, because the other area they needed to get through was taken already. So France did fail and had to retreat, but it honestly reaches an effective zero on both sides, as any gains the Spanish gained were cut off by 1639, and it mostly came down to what losses each side took, which weren't too horrific. It was a lot of sick and injured, but not necessarily a ton of dead. Very similar to the way swings in the war in Germany would happen. And keep in mind, Italy was still a mess, as it would be till its unification in the 19th century. So there was a civil war in Saxony that resulted from France failing at the pass. The pro-French leader was Marie Christina, the sister of Louis XIII and the widow of the Duke, meaning she was technically the regent of his heir. Richelieu said he would support her claims of royal blood if Savoy expanded into Milanese territory, who was an opponent of France. The main conflict was driven by who would be the regent, either someone pro-French or pro-Spanish. The effective leaders of each faction were Madame Real, who was pro-French, and the princes Tommaso on the other side. And while there were internal issues and debates and that whole thing driving both sides, this was secondary to the concerns of those coming in from the outside, France, Austria, and Spain. Both sides sent troops to assist, though France was a bit stingier, wanting those troops for other war fronts as we know of. We know exactly how tied down they were at this point. The Spanish sent 13,000 troops, which outnumbered the less than 10,000 French in the area in 1638. The French were barely able to garrison their territory, so the Imperials swept in, and Ferdinand used his jurisdiction to declare the princes the regents. The princes captured the capital, but Madame Real escaped with 2,000 troops, and her truce was agreed upon until October 1639. And by 1640 or so, an army of 7,000 French arrived and beat a Spanish field army, but was unable to relieve Turin till the winter. Casale was attacked to try to distract the French to give the princes more time to take the citadel of Turin. But the French played the waiting game and gathered an army of 19,000 troops, made up of garrisons and reinforcements, and marched on Turin. This became a very fun event whenever it happened, which is called the Triple Siege, which most famously is done at Alessio, with Caesar building walls around an already walled city. The French army was besieging the city, which had been taken by the Spanish, and the Spanish were besieging the remaining troops in the citadel, which is the fortified heart of a town or city. This basically turned into a waiting game, each side trying to wait until the other side ran out of supplies. Spain was now in a worse position, and eventually they had to fold, retreating from the siege in November 1640. But it wasn't a true victory, as both sides had less than 10,000 effective troops, making this a stalemate as a whole. The French couldn't reclaim any territory, and the Spanish had to deal with the revolts on the home front, meaning essential reinforcements couldn't arrive in time. And because of the fighting, Savoy was getting destroyed, as shown in Germany, so the princes came to negotiate with the French in May 1642, the French agreeing to name them co-regents and allow them to take control of the combined French and Savoy army. Madame Royale was given Turin back, though the garrison remained under French control. The whole situation, in my book, is a diplomatic victory despite the losses. Even if the French didn't win the battle, they got control over the region and settled the regency, leaving it a firm ally for them and their forces who could be used on other fronts. War is won through diplomacy, and even if someone can win battles, it means nothing if you can't get the terms you want, which is what happened to the Japanese after the Russo-Japanese War in 1905. I would congratulate France on pulling this out of a messy civil war, the Spanish being the true losers in this as they lost their hold even if they had the family of the princes held hostage. And on a minor point, France fell out of favor with the Catholic Church after Richelieu died because Mazarin, who was a cardinal, had to be called back to serve as the advisor to the king and take the position of Richelieu. Pope Urban VIII, who was an ally of France, hadn't intervened in the Italian Wars because of attempts to expand the Papal States at the cost of Spanish influence and territory there. A reminder that the Papal States were a medieval kingdom, although a little bit less at this point, but still, they weren't the thing we know now, which is a small bit of territory with famous buildings and the Pope. They were an effective government, and they had territory and all that. This overreaching expansion was punished by an alliance of Modena, Venice, and Tuscany, who all had issues with the papacy, and their combined forces pushed back against the Pope, who was unable to advance, but he held out against the combined forces. And the conflict ended, with French negotiations in March 1644, Castro being returned to Parma. A key thing you guys should know about the papacy is the ambition of the papacy depends on the Pope and their personal history, as the Italian Wars were a great example, as they had plenty of popes throughout the war. Five of them? There's plenty of them. Where each of them came from certain city-states, or they had different political goals, and the papacy kept switching sides in that war, like everybody else. A pope from Venice was different from a pope from Genoa or Milan or Naples, and those rivalries would last into their papacy. And that would often be a hammer against the enemy of, I'm the pope now, I will use my religious power to try to benefit my allies or my city-states. So when Urban died, the French influence on papacy disappeared, and this was not helped with Mazarin leaving, as he was the next biggest French influence in the cardinals. And he was back in France, so Spain was able to influence the successor of the Pope, wanting to recover their influence in Italy. And without France interfering, they got all the allies of the Pope to swap sides, on top of cardinals and bishops fleeing from Rome when malaria hit. And malaria going through Rome sounds really, really bad. I would not want to live in that city at the time. The main effect of all this, in practical terms, was getting Pope Innocent X on the throne, who held Spanish influence under their protection, which stopped France from destabilizing it. And while this wasn't military help, it was political help, so the war in Italy would continue, though less intense. But Italy began to fade from relevance anyway, as France focused on attacking Spain directly, especially with the Portuguese and the Catalan revolts, which diverted Spain's resources to the war. There are two routes one could attack Spain through from France, which was going through Gascony into Navarre, which would be guarded by the fortress of Fuenterrabia, and the other was through Perpignan, which blocked the path into Catalonia, so either France had to take a city or fortress to get through. The Pyrenees Mountains are really rough to traverse, and they often made invading hard. The initial attacks were unsuccessful in 1637 to 1638 from France, but after an attack on Leucate was repulsed and another Spanish force pulled back from Frontiers of Gascony, France saw an opportunity to attack. So Richelieu is still alive in 1638, put more money to men into this war, sending Conde with 17,000 men to take Fuenterrabia. The French wanted to focus on the Atlantic side, as Spain was increasing their navy, and France had already cut off the road into the Netherlands, so guarding that wasn't as essential. The Spanish navy was 150 warships strong, and had been raiding shipping and ferrying troops to Flanders, so this hurt the war effort of the Dutch, who were French allies. So there was an attack on Fuenterrabia from the sea and land on August 11th, 1638, which had initial success damaging the Spanish fleet and even forcing the Spanish admiral to literally have to swim to shore. But the siege lines were broken the next day, and the army led by Conde had to retreat, which meant the attack was an overall failure because the fleet had to retreat as well. This did not go over well with French high command, who had many rivalries, leading to one general even fleeing to England, fearing he would become a scapegoat for this. I would say this is logical, but nobles with military ranks were often competing for glory and trying to escape blame, and this is not a specific thing, as it's often a universal thing. Someone can get blamed for somebody in a big political moment. Take away nobility, nothing's changed. And the Spanish celebrated the victory, although it was short-sighted, as overall the French were winning, as forces were called back from Flanders, which reduced the war assets there. Attacking Spain was secondary, and keeping pressure off the Dutch would only do the war good. And drawing on any Spanish men cost them in resources and manpower, drawing it away from any of the front, and those men would often be on a boat for a couple weeks or unable to fight for a while, so those troops were not able to be used. And something similar happened when the French attacked Rosellen, where Conde led another attack and took the fortress of Salses, though sickness ran through his army, so he left to get more troops, leaving garrison behind. The Spanish attacked, and the garrison held out long enough for a French army to try to relieve them, and the French were unable to break the siege lines. And the heavy rain caused the army to fall apart, the fortress falling to the Spanish. Yet once again, this loss was a worse loss to Spain than France, as France had relatively light casualties. Spain lost 10,000 men taking Salses, and only around 2,000 of the local Catalonian militia remained. They had gone home for the winter and not died, and Olivares said Catalonia wasn't pulling their weight in the war. Rusin was guarded and held by other people, so 9,000 Castilians were billeted in the earldom, which disrupted the area, the people saying it disrupted their liberties. And if you know anything about Spanish history, you know that Catalonia is a very complicated state with more autonomy and independence movements going through it, often chafing against central power. Nothing was gained from the battle. The battle lines back to the way they were before. Men were dead, but nothing had changed. France only didn't win by any means, but it was just a lost battle, whereas Spain lost men and gained internal issues. All this did was distract Spain from other parts of the war, meaning they were less effective overall. The French could have done better, and they definitely were beaten, so this wasn't very good for them, but they were engaged in a very big war against the Habsburgs, so they were a bit tied in multiple directions. I mean, technically both families were actually Habsburgs, but Germany was a more demanding zone, and they all had, and all France had to do was defend their lands, although taking Spain would have been nice, but unrealistic. Spain is hard to invade and costly to hold, so failing to take it wasn't a major issue in my book, as it's very hilly and mountainous, especially in the approach from France to Spain. I will not be covering the Catalan and Portuguese revolts, as they are interesting, though not directly related to the wars that I'm covering. There are plenty of books on its history, and the book that I have or primarily covers it as well, but it is for my sanity. I'll say it that way. But next time, I will be talking about the fighting up north in Flanders, where we will end on the Battle of Rocroi. I want to thank you all for listening, and social media links will be in the description box or on the links themselves. You can email me at 3decot@gmail.com. Reminder that I have a Patreon, and thanks for those who support me. And please review and spread the word, and I'll see you guys next time.